Morning.
Oh, we do.
Bonnie's here, okay. We're good now.
Good morning. I knew that Bonnie was on her way.
Awesome. We're good.
Thank you. I'd like to call the conference committee dealing with state and local government and elections to order. We have a quorum present. It is Saturday, May 13th, 2023. We're meeting in the state office building in room 10. It is 10:28 in the morning, and I will say that it is a good day to pass the conference report. It's also my brother's birthday, FYI. I am glad that we're all here together on a Saturday at the now last week of this fairly historic session. And this proposal that we're going to move today is the fruit of months and months and months of labor by the members and staff that are here, by members and staff that are not present with us, and by people in this room. And as we know, and is always, I think, a little salty at this time of the year, this is a proposal that we're ready to move. I know there are still some conversations happening with the administration, and I want to acknowledge that. But this is a proposal that we're ready to move, knowing that we're not getting everything that we want to get done, which is why people like me tend to say we are going to come back to it, which is true. Our work is always a work in progress. We never get everything done, and if we did, we wouldn't need a legislature that meets every year. So I just want to make sure for those of you who are here who we may not have accomplished everything that you'd hoped, that you hear clearly from me, and I am sure from Chair Cleburne, that we are going to continue to work in pursuit of a government that serves the people. And I will say that I am quite proud of this piece of legislation, which serves as the backbone, the infrastructure, and the functioning of a government that actually does serve the people. And with this proposal, we are funding it in such a way that it can meet the needs of people in a modern, efficient, and purposeful way. So I'm excited about the work we're going to do. I've been sharing with our newer members who have not been through this before that this is one of the last steps of this process. It is the adoption of work that has been done over many, many months, and so it can seem sometimes a little boring and maybe a little anticlimactic. That's okay. That's okay. It is a good day. It is a good day for maybe boring and anticlimactic when we have done so much work with purpose and intention. And with that, I'd like to turn to my chair, my co-chair, the chair, Chair Cleburne.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. And I would just like to take a moment to thank everybody, all of you who've continued in conversation with us as we've gone through this process and as we posted the earlier documents and did the walkthrough of what was in the side-by-side previously. I'd also like to extend my gratitude to Lead Nash for being a good partner in this work and helping us to make this a good bill and a bipartisan bill. I think it's, while we have our differences, you've been a good partner to me in the, you've been a good partner to me in leading the committee in the House. So I appreciate that. And to Chair Murphy, I just want to say thank you. This work has been difficult. We are a legislative body of 201 votes, and making sure that we can get a bill that is workable and functioning for our state is a really important thing. So thank you for being my partner in this work as well. And with that, we'll begin.
All right. Anything from members before we get started? All righty. So we're going to begin with a high-level walkthrough of the spreadsheets for both state and local gov and for elections. And with that, I'll invite our fiscal analyst up to the table to begin that work.
Good
Good morning to you both. It's good to see you here. Please proceed.
Madam Chair and members, I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff, and I'll start. And what we're going to do today is just really highlight the where we were different and what the resolution was instead of going through line by line. But please stop and let us know if you have any questions. So I'm going to start with the legislature, and you can see there's a first just a small difference on the LCC operating adjustment, a small increase. The next item was the Senate position on the Office of Economic Status of Women, and that was accepted. The next line, on line 10, where it says LCC task forces and NCSL study, that's a combination of House and Senate positions where instead of providing separate funding for the task force on aging and the IIJA task force and then related to the collective bargaining, these are all combined into one piece of funding for the LCC. So that's highlighting the changes for the legislature. For the governor, I'm going too quickly. We also included the House funding on the LCC translation services. That was Chair Cleborn's proposal. I can move down to the governor real quick. We were the same on that, so no differences. On the state auditor, there were slight differences between the House and Senate, and you can see that we moved to the Senate position. On the technology staffing, also on the regulatory compliance and oversight dashboard, we came to this proposal comes to the Senate position, and then also again on the electronic auditing tool. So overall, it was at the Senate position on funding.
And Madam Chair, I'm Andrew Erickson with Senate Fiscal Analysis, and moving to the Attorney General items. The first difference was that the Senate took the House position on the enhanced antitrust nonprofit oversight funding of $2.5 million, and both positions moved to put $1 million into a new consumer litigation account for the Attorney General. Turning over into page two, you'll see that that was balanced by removing it from the unridered operating adjustment so that that portion was cost neutral. In the end, the appropriation was $2.5 million higher than the Senate had and was the House position. For the Secretary of State, the conference agreement is the same as the Senate position, which means that there's an extra $800,000 for the content management system upgrade and an extra $200,000 for the data center move than the House had come in with. For the CAP board, the only change was an agreement that funding that the Senate had carried in fiscal year 24, $1 million one time to update the Capital Mall Design Framework Plan, is moved into fiscal 23, which matches a House position.
Moving on to the Office of Administrative Hearings, you'll see that there was a sort of a compromise of House and Senate positions. This agreement includes the Senate position on the maintain current service levels, the House position on the supplemental case management load, although there is a adjustment in the tails, and then for the public comment portal, again, that this was the Senate position. And then there was no difference for the funding for the office that comes out of the Workers' Compensation Fund. Moving on to minute, the first change you'll see from both the House and Senate is $5 million in one-time funding for what for a flexible operational increase. This was a request coming from the administration. And it's offset on line 82. You'll see a reduction of the same amount of $5 million from the targeted application modernization. Continuing on with minute services, there is for the accessible technology, kind of a compromise between the House and Senate, moving to the Senate position in 24-25, and then also increasing in the tails. The next change is for the public land survey STEM monuments, which was included in both the House and Senate at the same amount, and you'll see that the final funding is $9.7 million. And then the last change, there came to the House position of no funding for the executive branch digital media services.
For the Department of Administration, the first change is on line 101, which is the increase for the Office of Enterprise Sustainability. There is a compromise position here of $720,000 in each biennium for funding. The House came to the Senate position on the Office of Grants Management Increase Oversight for a total of $2 million in each biennium. There is also a compromise position on the IT Project and Program Management, which is funded at $320,000 in each biennium, which is between the two positions. There is a change in several of the grants that are going through admin. So beginning with the public TV block grants, there is $1 million in each biennium, which is what the Senate position was for the budget biennium, but is the House position for the TAILS biennium. The conference report picks up the House position for the NPR increased funding for NPR's funding for the Amber Alert system. There is also a compromise position on the AMPRS funding increase on line 111, which is a total of $3.5 million in the first biennium and $1.5 million in the TAILS, representing a compromise between the two positions. The Senate position is picked up in the conference report for the one-time funds to launch a statewide community news service. On line 113, the House position on parking fund support is picked up in the conference report. Then on line 114, the House has moved to the Senate position for the State Demographic Center researchers. There is no funding for the Enterprise Grant Management Oversight Systems, which represents a move from the a $3 million move from the House position to the Senate in the first biennium, and neither position had funding in the TAILS. The funding for the Buy Clean and Buy Fair Minnesota Act is included in the bill, which was a Senate position. That's $889,000 in the first biennium and $734,000 in the TAILS. There's also the Senate position for the Council on LGBTQIA 2S Plus Minnesotans, which was a Senate provision. There's also a new grant for the Center for Rural Policy Development, a one-time grant of $100,000. The Youth Advisory Council is not in the bill, which is a House position, and that is the last change in the Department of Administration.
I will move on to Minnesota Management and Budget. Beginning on line 127, the funding for the Enterprise Resources Planning. There's the Senate position in fiscal year 24-25, and then so that's an increase over the House and then a reduction in the TAILS. On increased staffing, there is, this again was moved to the Senate position in 24-25, and then there's a slight reduction for both positions in the TAILS. For enterprise continuity planning, again, the Senate position, which is an increase over the House, and then some adjustment in the TAILS, increase over the House, then a decrease over the Senate position. Moving down to line 131, there's a reduction for both positions for the enterprise accountability and performance team, and then a reduction from the Senate position in the TAILS. So that concludes Minnesota Management and Budget for their operating. Under Minnesota Management and Budget non-operating, you'll see that there's a change in the contingent account increase, moving to the Senate position in 24-25, and then a compromise in the TAILS.
For the Department of Revenue, there is no change in the budget biennium for the maintained current service levels change item, but there is a compromise position on the TAILS base. That is roughly halfway in between the two positions. The positions, for the Gambling Control Board, I'm not sure why that formula is off, but I believe the funding was the same in both bills, so the Gambling Control Board is actually identical. There's no change from either position for the Racing Commission. Moving to the Amateur Sports Commission, the Senate has moved to the House position on the National Sports Center Ice Arena roof upgrade of $850,000. There are no changes for the Minnesotans of African Heritage Council, Latino Affairs Council. The Senate has taken the House position on the Asian Pacific Council, which is $250,000 lower in each biennium. And there are no changes at the Indian Affairs Council, which both houses came with identical positions on.
Moving on to the Minnesota Historical Society, on the earned revenue recovery line, you'll see that this includes the Senate position. on the commission to redesign the state emblems. There's a move to the Senate position, which is just a slight change. On line 189, there's funding included for the Senate position of a one-time increase to the Farm America site. And then on the historic sites asset preservation, you'll see a compromise between the Senate and the House position for that one-time funding. On the state arts board, the House and Senate were identical.
The Senate picked up two other House-only provisions for the cut wall study through the Minnesota Board of Regents. That is a $1 million one-time appropriation, and also $750,000 in earned revenue recovery for the Science Museum. That takes us down into some of the
I'm glad you caught it. Thank you. I think we skipped over the Humanities Center, so just real quickly, there is a on the healthy eating here at home, there was a compromise between the House and Senate position and adjustment between the 4 years of funding. And then this includes the House position on the cultural awareness programs and grants. And the next three boards, the Conancy Board, Architectural and Engineering Board, and Barber Examiners Board, the House and Senate were identical. Under the Cosmetology Examiners Board, the Senate position on hair technician licensing was accepted, so that's a $91,000 increase.
On line 246, the change to create the Council on LGBTQIA2S+ Minnesotans was the Senate position and is picked up here at $1 million in each biennium. The Senate moved to the House position, as previously mentioned, on not creating the Youth Advisory Council, nor funding the Bureau of Mediation Services item for legislative employees' collective bargaining.
And then there is a compromise position on the Campaign Finance Board, including some funding for min geocoding and cybersecurity. So that's a reduction from the House position and increase from the Senate position.
So now moving down into sort of the reconciliation portion, the first difference is on line 289. The House is taking the Senate position on the hair technician licensing, which then recognizes $39,000 each year in expected revenue for the general fund. The next changes are on, was that the last one, Helen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me, no, I missed line 277. Which is a one-time transfer into the asset preservation account, which was originally a House position and is being funded at $9.4 million one time. And that takes us to the end of the state government spreadsheet.
Excuse me one moment. We are trying to find out if the House members need to go back to the floor for just for a vote. One moment. Madam Chair, may I ask for a recess, please?
The conference committee is in recess till the call of the chair. We're calling this meeting back to order, and while you are bubbling around out there, if you could turn the volume down so we can proceed with our work, I'd be grateful. And when our fiscal analysts extraordinaire are ready to proceed, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll move to the election spreadsheet, which is timestamped 3:44 p.m. in the lower right. The first change here is that the conference has moved to the House position in not adopting the ranked choice voting and voter engagement advisory task force. Moving into the Secretary of State, the first change is that the House has moved to the Senate position on funding the HAVA state match in fiscal 23. There is a slightly different number of the bill for elections administration changes than came in either body based on some changes and recognitions of what was in the bill at that point. So that is a one-time $21,000 appropriation. There is a change to the House position, more or less, on the voter account transfer. It's slightly less than what the House came in, but there is a $1.25 million each year transfer ongoing for the voter account. The conforming change for not adopting ranked choice voting is the Secretary of State, or the Senate has moved on the Secretary of State administrative portion of that appropriation to the House position of zero. There is a $125,000 one-time appropriation for a Secretary of State voting study. The House has moved to the Senate position on a $200,000 education campaign for the restoration of voting rights for felons. There is one change in the bill that is correcting an appropriation that had been carried in House File 3 and making sure that for administrative purposes the Secretary of State is able to budget for that within the state accounting systems properly, so that appropriation for the Secretary of State is being repealed and reappropriated here for the accounting system. So that's what is happening there on line 18. On line 19, there is a $96,000 ongoing reduction for a transfer that the Secretary of State makes to the Department of Corrections. The House has come to the Senate position on this. And then finally, on line 20, there is a compromise position on the accessibility grants for polling places of $500,000 one time.
And then moving on to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board, the first difference or change was on the public subsidy program. And you can see here there was a compromise between the House and Senate, and both actually funded at a lower level than was in the original bills. And then on line 81, you will see the report modification for the Department of Corrections that goes along with the reduction to the Secretary of State space that was discussed earlier. Moving on to the last part of the spreadsheet, you can see on line 38, again, the negative numbers represent the repeal and reappropriation of House File 3. And again, that was a request of the Secretary of State to ease their administration of their funding. We are also carrying on line 41 a small revenue change for related to House File 3.
And that is the rest of the changes. Everything else is just conforming totals, and the rest of the bill or the provisions are the same between the two bodies.
Thank you both for the presentation and the spreadsheet. For both state and local government and for elections, we have those spreadsheets before us, and we are prepared now to act to adopt. Chair Cleaborn.
Madam Chair, I move adoption of the State and Local Government Policy and Finance 2023 Session Tracking Change Items Conference Agreement, time stamped 8:32 p.m. on 5/12/2023. Further, I move adoption of Change Items Election Committee 2023 Session Conference Agreement, time stamped 5/10/2023. At 3:44 p.m.
We have a motion before us. Chair Cleaborn moves that the conference adopt State and Local Government Policy and Finance 2023 Session Tracking Change Items Conference Agreement dated May 12, 2023 at 8:32 p.m., pages 1 through 8, and further that we adopt Change Items Elections Committee 2023 Session Conference Agreement dated May 10, 2023, 3:44 p.m.
Pages 1 and 2.
Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Thank you both very much for the work this morning and for everything else, of course. We will next move to the walkthrough of the table dealing with state government. And so I'll invite our counsel from both the House and the Senate to join us. We're going to walk through this table and we will. So just so people are following along, we will walk through the table. And when we get to items on the table where there are amendments, we're going to take up those amendments so we don't have to come back through the table a second time. And with that, I would invite our counsel to begin.
Madam Chair, I'm Matt Gehring from House Research.
Stephanie James from Senate Counsel.
The first item on the table relates to the redesign of the emblems and the flag. The table suggests taking the House position with the Senate section for a task force, which was also in the House version. The next item relates to legislative employees. This is a new provision in the A80 amendment. This replaces this House and Senate position, or the Senate only position on this. This creates, first of all, a requirement that study be commissioned from the NCSL about organization of legislative employees, and then following that, the executive director of the LCC will hire a consultant to look into issues specifically related to organizing of legislatures. The next item is a House only item.
Ms. James?
Oh, yes, you want to adopt it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
sorry.
With you. So we have before us the A80 amendment. That is the result of a lot of work and compromise dealing with the people who work in the Minnesota legislature. Senator Westland moves the A80 amendment. Members, other questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
The Madam Chair, next is item 3 on the list. This is a House-only section that provides supplemental pay for certain designated legislative leaders. This is a part of the legislative budget. And then item 4 provides a statutory appropriation for the legislature. This was a House-only position that's recommended to be adopted here. This would be House Section 715-16-2759. And then there's also an A70 amendment that would clarify the process for certifying amounts for the Legislative Coordinating Commission.
Madam Chair, I move the A70 amendment for adoption.
Members, before us, we have the A70 amendment dealing with the statutory appropriation for the legislature. And this is a subject of some continued conversation, just for the record. But this amendment puts the bill in the shape that we would like it this morning. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
The next, Madam Chair, item 5 on the list is the House-only position to adopt the new definition of legislative day, followed by House-only section item 6 that reduces the number of physical copies of reports that must be submitted to the Legislative Reference Library.
And the next item number 7, was similar between the two bills. The proposal is to adopt Senate Section 6 through 9 relating to the Legislative Commission on Cybersecurity and closing the meetings. There's one edit noted in the right-hand column on line 7 that would be part of the adoption of the table. Line item number 8 is a batch of sections requested by the legislative auditor. We have one amendment to address the data sharing that was an issue, and this has been worked on between the legislative auditor and Minkoji.
Chair Cleborn moves the A27 for adoption.
Before us is the A27 amendment. This is the result of a lot of conversation and negotiation, and I want to thank those with experience on data and the chair of the Legislative Audit Commission. I'd like to renew Chair Cleborn's motion. Are there questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
The last item on the first page of the table is a provision that is new. It is reflected in the A74 amendment. This establishes a multi-state litigation fund for the Attorney General to use to fund multi-state or complex consumer litigation.
And before us, we have the A74 amendment that creates the language for the Consumer Litigation Fund. Senator Westland moves the A74 amendment. This is, again, the work of folks from the AG's office, as well as members and staff. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, I'll renew the motion, Senator Westland's motion on the A74. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no, and that motion is adopted.
Then, Madam Chair, at the top of page 2, you see item 10. It says language related to the work of the street, the repeal of provisions related to strategic and long-range planning. This is adopting House Sections 14, 43, and 46, as well as the associated repealer. Then item 11 is the Council on LGBTQIA2S+ Minnesotans. This is Senate Sections 6 and 46, and there is also an A60 amendment to correspond to these changes.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. We have before us the A60 amendment. Senator Mitchell will move the A60 amendment, which is providing a definition for LGBTQIA2S+ to this section of the conference report. Members, do you have questions? I'm seeing no questions. Senator Mitchell renews her motion on the A60 amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no, and that motion is adopted.
Then item 12 on the chart, next, Madam Chair, is the interagency agreement reports language. There are policy differences between the House and the Senate on this item, and the proposal is to accept Senate Section 19. And then next is item 13 on the list. This is language related to the Compensation Council. These were House-only provisions, and the proposal here is to accept all the identified House sections that you see on the list, as well as the associated repealer. And then there's also an amendment A93 in the packet. And before you adopt the A93, I just recommend one oral amendment to incorporate within the A93 to clarify the intent. So if you're looking at the A93 on page 3, line 9, after the word recommendations, insert four constitutional officers. And the result of that is to make clear that this conference committee is adopting the salary recommendations for the constitutional officers, but not judicial officers that are also included in that report.
Ms. James.
Madam Chair, one other item that you had suggested was to delete or former on line 1.21.
Thanks, Ms. James. That is an important addition. Mr. Gehring, can you repeat one more time the oral amendment or the change to the A93 so that we're clear about it?
Madam Chair, so the proposal would be on the A93, page 3, line 9, after the word recommendations, insert four constitutional officers. As I said, the result of that change would be to make clear that the salary recommendations for just the constitutional officers and not judicial officers would be adopted by this amendment.
And we can incorporate those changes.
So I will move the A93 as amended for adoption.
Chair Cleburn moves the A93 as amended. Members, do you have questions? Ms. James.
Madam Chair, Mr. Gehring and I just want to make sure that everyone's clear on whether or not the oral change on 1.21 is also part of them.
So to be clear for everybody, on line 1.21, striking or former, so current, what would remain is current lobbyist registered under Minnesota law. And then on page 3, 3.19, inserting after recommendations for constitutional officers. All right. Chair Cleburn renews her motion on the A93.
As amended.
As amended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no.
No.
And that motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, the next item is number 14. These were Senate-only provisions. These were a batch of technical finance-related items from defining the word transfer to cleaning up some provisions related to the tobacco bonds. Setting some deadlines for the forecasts and things like that. So the proposal is to adopt all of those sections from the Senate side. The next item, number 15, is it actually goes along with item number 10. This establishes an additional position for the duty of for the a deputy commissioner within the group. So the proposal on line 15 is to adopt the Senate section, but with the House's head note. The next item, number 16, is a batch of sections that came from the Department of Administration relating to grants oversight and management. I will note that this proposal would include adoption of the A65, which is the latest version of the now famous section that establishes financial review for potential grantees. The A65 in your packets, it applies both to nonprofits and to for-profit businesses who receive business subsidies. And then the A78, also listed here, is an exemption from the application of these of the fee that can be charged for administering grants. It exempts grants that are of state bond financed grants.
Madam Chair, I will move the A65 for adoption.
Chair Cleburne moves the A65, which is the, as Ms. James said, now famous language dealing with financial review of grants and business subsidies recipients. I want to thank members of both the House and the Senate, of course, our council, people from the Council of Foundations and the Council of Nonprofits and the Department of Administration.
And many people from the public.
Yeah, and so many people from the public for their input on this that will apply now across our agencies.
And I'd also like to thank Lee Nash for his work on this amendment as well. He has a question.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say thank you for the collective effort that has gone into what first was the amendments that were drafted and put into every omnibus bill, and now the A65. I will tell you that it is a bipartisan effort, and I have been trying to hold back my caucus from getting overly angry on the issue. I think that the definition or the explanation that those would have been session law and would have evaporated at the end of the biennium. So I think that this is a very wise and prudent amendment as we move forward that helps us alleviate the possibility of things moving forward like the very famous Feeding Our Future, because I think all of us agree on that. So just know that I've been fighting in the trenches to hold back the angry hordes of House Republicans, because we did have concerns when this began getting stripped out and we didn't see the language. So I'm glad it's here. I'll be voting yes on this. There are other questions on the bill as to where my vote will lie, but on this one, I think it's a very good effort. So thank you to both of you and to those that have participated.
Thank you. I'm always happy to encourage a yes vote on the final passage of the bill.
That's to be determined.
It's good. Good. The open is good. I do want to, again, say thanks, but Representative Nash, I appreciate the often lonely and hard work when you are trying to bring a group of people along on an idea that is worthy in an environment where we tend to separate based on our caucus, in this case, Packers versus Vikings. So that's hard work, and I really appreciate it.
So did we vote?
We have not yet. Okay. So Chair Cleburne renews her motion on the A65 amendment, seeing no further questions. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted unanimously. And then Senator Mitchell moves the A78 amendment. Ms. James, do you want to just refresh us on this one more time, please?
Madam Chair and members, this is the exemption from the fee that agencies can keep for administering grants. This is an exception for grants that are paid for out of the appropriation of state bond proceeds.
All right. Seeing no questions, Senator Mitchell renews her motion on the A78 amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. All right.
Madam Chair, back to the table. Item 17 relates to the billing for statewide systems. The proposal here is to accept how sections 25 and 26. And then the last thing on page two is definition of asset preservation and associated changes. This is house only language that the proposal here is to accept house sections 21, 22, and 23. And then moving to the top of page three, item 19 is a new provision that's drafted in an amendment form. This is the A83 amendment that provides carry forward for budgeting within the office of the governor.
Madam Chair, I move the A83 amendment.
Chair Cleaborn moves the A83 amendment dealing with the administration's appropriations. Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no.
Nope.
And that motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, members, the next item, number 20, is a Senate-only provision. This relates to buying clean procurement for contracting materials for the state. The next item, Designer Selection Board, are provisions that came from the House related to the Designer Selection Board. The next item establishes an Office of Enterprise Translations. The proposal is to take the House's side of that. The next item, number 23, is a reasonable accommodation reimbursement account modification. This is a Senate-only provision. The next item, healthy eating here at home. These were the same in both bodies. The proposal is to take the Senate sections 43 and 44. The next item, line 25, hair technicians. This was a Senate-only batch of sections to create a hair technician license. You have also an 82 amendment that increases the amount of training required for the license, and specifically for cutting.
Thank you. Senator Westland moves the A82 amendment, which changes from 800 to 900 the number of hours, and from 200 to 300 the number of hours. Any questions? Seeing no questions, Senator Westland moves the A82. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
The Madam Chair, next is another new provision drafted as an amendment here, the A75 amendment. This relates to the Interfaculty Association and bargaining by summer faculty in the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities system.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A75 for adoption.
A75 before us. Are there any questions? Chair Cleaborn moves the A75. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
Then item 27 on the chart is similar language in both bodies. The proposal is to accept House Section 47. This is the Private Cemeteries Act. And then item 28, similar language again between both bodies. This is the Public Land Survey System Monument Grant Program. This was funded in the spreadsheet, and this is the associated policy language, House Sections 49 and 50. And then item 29 on the list is the transition of Christopher Columbus Day into Indigenous Peoples Day. So it's House-only language, and the proposal is to accept those sections 76 and 79.
Madam Chair, the next item is the Legislative Task Force on Aging. These were similar provisions in both bills. The proposal here is to take Senate Section 44. Item number 31 establishes an Infrastructure Resilience Advisory Task Force. This was a House-only provision, and the proposal is to take that section. Line 32, a Grants Administration Oversight Feasibility Study. This provision was similar in the two bills, and the proposal here is to take the House section for that. The next item, number 33, is Ford Development Site, redevelopment of the Ford Building Site. This is a House-only provision, and the proposal here is to take that House section 56. The next item is number 34, the Capitol Barber. This was a House-only provision. The proposal here is to accept the House Section 57, but we will change the location to Capitol Complex.
And item 35 on the list relates to the Capitol Mall Design Framework. This is similar language in both bodies, and the proposal here is to accept Senate Section 7 with a few technical updates, as you see identified on the chart. And then item 36 is the Office of Small Agency Studies. This was identical in both bodies. The proposal is to accept House Section 60. And then a set of repealers, the parking garage debt service repealer, proposal is to accept House Section 61, line 63.25 and 63.26, as well as the repealer related to the Evergreen Fire Hall polling place location. This is line 63.21 and 63.22 of the House language in the repealer section. And then item 39 relates to the electric vehicle fee requirements on the state capitol parking facilities. This is similar language in both bodies. The proposal is to accept House Section 30, and then there's a drafted A63 amendment along with the repealer. So the next item for you would be to adopt the A63.
And Senator Mitchell moves the A63 amendment. Seeing no questions, A63 before us. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, the next item is number 41. This relates to the Subcommittee on Employee Relations. This is the provisions that eliminate the legislature's review of contracts. You have two amendments to be considered. The first is the A84 amendment. This provides for certain information to be provided about contracts as they're being negotiated.
Representative Freiberg moves the A84 amendment. Members, do you have questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, I skipped item number 40, which is the legislative session convening in odd years. This was a House-only provision, House Section 2. And then you have another amendment on line 41 to consider. This is the A76, and this provides for the elimination of the ability of the legislature to modify managerial plans.
Representative Greenman moves the A76 amendment. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
The next item is the Senate or advice and consent of the legislature for confirmations. This was similar in both bodies. You're adopting the Senate Section 20, or that's proposed here. That's to be amended by the A58 to reflect that there's one appointment that the House has a role in confirming that isn't where inaction isn't already addressed in its enabling statute. So that is the A58.
And Representative Hewitt moves the A58 amendment. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no.
No.
And that motion is adopted.
The next item has to do with alternative energy, modifying the statutes related to that. And the proposal here is to take Senate sections 25, 26, and 29. That was a Senate-only provision. The next item is House-only relating to procurement and contracting provisions. And the proposal is to take House sections 31 and 32.
Top of page 5, Madam Chair, is item 45. This is new language proposed as an A83 amendment to adopt a working group on youth interventions.
The A83 amendment is language that we worked on in the Senate, and there is funding attached to this moving in another proposal. Senator Carlson moves the A83 amendment. Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
And Madam Chair, next, item 46 on the table is the Juneteenth effective date correction. This is the Juneteenth has already been adopted. This is just related to the effective date of the holiday. The proposal is to accept Senate sections 41 and 42. And then the last two items on the list, Madam Chair, are not in the state government policy article, but are in the information technology and cybersecurity article. The first one you see there is item 47, cloud computing. This is a proposal to accept House sections 10 and 11 related to cloud computing, as well as the A64 amendment.
So we have before us the A64 amendment. Representative Nash?
Yes. So I don't see the A64 in my pack. There it is. Okay. I move the A64.
Representative Nash moves the A64. Members, do you have questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
And Madam Chair, the last item on this table is item 48. This is new language that is drafted as the A60 amendment. This is language that provides for application of Chapter 12 in the event of an information technology emergency.
Representative Nash.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A60.
Representative Nash moves the A60. Members, do you have questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, we have one more amendment. Chair Seaborn. Madam Chair, I believe that Representative Greenman would like to offer the A91.
That is my motion, and I think I'd love to ask nonpartisan staff give us an overview of the amendment.
Thank you, Chair Cleaborn or Rep. Greenman. Do we have the amendment?
Mr. Gehring has the amendment before him in a folder. There's the folder you've been given.
Okay. Can we get it from, do we have a copy for members?
If you'll please read the amendment.
All right.
Madam Chair, the A91 amendment proposes that the Historical Society light the Capitol Building Electrolier on days when the legislature is meeting in session. Currently, the Electrolier is lit on Statehood Day, on the first day of the legislative session, and on the spooky Halloween tour day. And the proposal here is to allow for the chandelier to be lit during sessions.
Madam Chair,
any discussion to the amendment?
Madam Chair.
Okay, I'm just going to say, not every member has this amendment.
Okay.
Is it possible to get a copy of the amendment?
Or we can just read it out loud. I'll read it out loud one more time. The Minnesota Historical Society must light the Capitol Building Electrolier during regular business hours on any days during which a legislature is convened in a regular or special session, or during special events when requested jointly by the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives and the Secretary of the Senate. The Historical Society must coordinate with the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives and the Secretary of State for the purpose of keeping the electrolier lit when either body of the legislature is expected to meet outside of the regular business hours. We renumber the sections in sequence and correct the internal references. Amend the title accordingly.
Thank you for reading that for us. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this comes from a set of conversations for the last year or two about now that the technology in our Capitol and the energy efficiency over the last 150 years allows us and allows the full display of this national treasure to be on display. This amendment would mean that the public would be able to see it and also know when we're working in the legislature. And it allows our great nonpartisan and clerks at both in the Senate and the House to work with the Historical Society to make sure that the public has access.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would normally burn the place down because we didn't have an amendment in, but I was a little bit read in on this. This is a great amendment that we are doing for one of our staff who has been suggesting this for a fairly long time, and I think that it is a good representation. So if you look at it much like a fire department has a light on when they are out on a call so that people know that the fire department is working, I think this is an excellent demonstration that we are here and we are working, and that we welcome the public to come down and either cheer us on or throw things at us at their choice.
I
prefer the former as opposed to the latter, but thank you.
All right. Are there questions regarding this amendment from the House that, you know, is apt for the North Star State? And, you know, we could also say that it is a signal of our bright future. Seeing no questions, Representative Greenman renews her motion on the A91 amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. And that concludes the amendments to State Gov. And Chair Cleaborn is going to just quickly review.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Please repeat.
That concludes the work on state government. Thank you both, Mr. Gehring and Ms. James, for the work this morning, and of course your incredible work thus far. And we'll invite
Madam Chair.
Mr. Representative Nash, sorry.
I was running back from a hastily called caucus, and I did have a question relative to the change made on legislative day, if I could, if you would indulge me, because I was running back from the Capitol.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So either to staff or to the author of the amendment, I'm trying to wrap my mind around what the change in legislative days means. And is it effectively creating a scenario where you can possibly have floor sessions or committee where you are moving bills but not have it decrement against the legislative days? And could that, could those times be perhaps after we've adjourned sine die or adjourned at our constitutional date? So could you have a meeting where you're moving legislation, say, in August if it wasn't a special session?
Chair Cleaborne.
I would go to Mr. Gehring as our House Legal.
Mr. Gehring.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash, could you just repeat the question, I guess?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. And so the question is effectively, does the change in legislative days, where the prescriptive measurement of legislative days is when a bill has been moved, but does that allow for committees to be heard over the summer that is non-informational only hearing? Can they move legislation? Could you have a floor session where you don't take action on a bill, where you're perhaps doing something else? I'm just trying to make sure that we're not effectively moving into a year-round legislature by redefining legislative days in this bill.
Mr. Gehring.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash, the proposal here is to just change the statutory definition of legislative day, and the limitation on the legislature meeting in regular session is a constitutional limitation. So this wouldn't change that standard as it relates to meeting in floor sessions and regular session after the date in May that's prescribed by the Constitution. And it also, I would say, to your question about the committee meetings, this doesn't change the current standard, which does allow committees to meet without floor sessions. Committees do occasionally meet during the interim, and that that wouldn't be affected by the change proposed here in this bill.
And
Rep. Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I wanted to clarify that on the record, because I have been inundated, and I'm sure you have as well, because the term legislative day is not an innate one for the public, and they tend to have questions, and I just wanted to make sure that the public was not of the assumption that, because I don't want to be a year-round legislature, I don't think anybody does, but that was a sort of a mechanism to create a full-time legislature. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for that, Representative Nash, and I will say that this has been a subject of a great deal of conversation in both the House and the Senate, and between conversations between Chair Cleaborne and I and Leader Dietzick and Speaker Hortman, I think those conversations and the conversations with the staff in both bodies will continue around this idea. And are there any other questions on State Gov? And if not, Chair Cleaborne, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the state government policy items proposed for adoption by the Conference Committee on State Government on House File 1830, dated May 13, 2023, time stamped May 12, 2023, 10:46 p.m., pages 1 through 5, as amended, be adopted.
Chair Cleaborne moves what you just said.
Okay. All those in favor?
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no.
No.
And that motion is adopted. We will next proceed to local government and invite our council to join us. We have done a lot of work in this part of the conference report, and so we're going to conclude that work.
You got.
Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Joan White with Senate Council. I will be going over the local government policy provisions. There's two outstanding sections. The first is related to the special service district expansion. And there is an A56 amendment. This amendment deletes the existing sections, which are Senate only, and allows both multi-unit residential and non-residential property owners to petition to establish a special service district.
We have before us the A56 amendment that is the result of work between Senator Bolden and stakeholders related to local government. Are there questions? I see no questions. Then Senator Westland moves the A56 amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
The next section, Madam Chair, is related to the St. Cloud Regional Airport. It's the A69 amendment, and this amendment, notwithstanding any law or ordinance, allows the City of St. Cloud to issue an on-sale liquor license for St. Cloud Regional Airport.
We have before us the A69 amendment. Senator Carlson offers the A69 amendment, and I want to say thank you to Senator Putnam, Representative Wolgamott, Representative Cleborn, our chair, as well as the MAC and our council in putting this together. A69 before us. Any questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. And that concludes our work on local government.
Would you like me to make them?
I would.
I move that the 2023 Omnibus Local Government Policy Articles on House File 1826 and Senate File 1424 as amended, prepared by House Research and State Council to Local Government Policy Provisions for potential adoption on May 13, 2023, items 1 and 2 be adopted.
Chair Cleborn moves that the Omnibus Local Government Policy Articles, House File 1826 and Senate File 1424, dated May 13th, 2023, as amended, Sections 1 and 2, be now adopted. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. And that concludes our work on local government. Thank you both today and for all of the work that you've done this session. And next, we will welcome up our elections team. We've already moved the spreadsheet, so now we're going to go through the table and amendments. Welcome.
Madam Chair, do you want to start with elections administration or campaign finance?
Elections administration.
Okay. Madam Chair, there's just a few items in the table for elections administration that you'll see. There are three items. One is establishing the voting operations technology and election resources account. There's also similar language between both bodies related to the county auditors. The proposal is to accept Senate Section 46. As well as repealer related to participation in precinct caucuses. The proposal here is to accept repeal of subdivisions 1 and 3. And that's the entirety of the elections administration table. And there is separately a large amendment that has a number of other elections administration provisions. This is the A92 amendment.
We have before us the A92 amendment. It has a number of provisions in it. Rep. Freiberg moves the A92 amendment. Members, do you have questions? Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if we could get House staff to walk through what the appreciable changes will be to minor party status and how the A92 changes that, if we could.
Mr. Gehring.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash, the major party status language you see starts on line 1.16 of the amendment. There is language included that requires parties to certify their compliance with certain existing requirements of Chapter 202A related to the way that caucuses and conventions are conducted. It also includes language that increases the threshold for the number of votes a party must receive to qualify as a major party to 8%, beginning with the state general election held in 2024.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I will voice this quickly. I just think that the threshold change is really kind of punitive to those who might be considered currently minor parties. I believe the previous threshold was lower. I think that if we're going to truly encourage the voice of potentially smaller parties becoming a major party, that this is probably a misplaced amendment on that line. But once again, I am one of one against nine, so I know the outcome, but I just think that this is not something that I think that Minnesota should be proud of in this area, that I think we should probably encourage what might be considered current minor parties to have an achievable threshold to be considered a major party. So I will request a roll call on the A92.
Roll call is requested on the A92. Are there other questions? Senator Westlin.
I will also try to be brief. Believe it or not, Representative Nash, you and I are not necessarily philosophically in disagreement with one another. I will probably very reluctantly vote for the entire amendment because it has other things in it, but I would like to be very clear about a couple of things. That the issue of major party status has been challenging and difficult. I think we have absolutely had problems with parties who were begun by activists who submitted petitions and did all of the hard work, who then found their parties taken over by bad actors. I had an idea earlier that would have taken a different approach to this issue, to this problem. Unfortunately, there was not wide support for that. What is in this amendment at this point was a compromise, and it's what we could get done this year. In the first instance, it requires people to just do what they're already required to do. There are no new requirements. It's simply an enforcement mechanism that already exists for minor parties. The threshold has been increased, and I fought very hard on this issue, much to the chagrin, I know, of many people. I will say this, that the 8% is certainly a bit higher, but it still puts us in the middle of the pack. There are four states that require 20%. There are four states that require 10%. In a body where I am also one of many, this is a compromise position. And again, I will be reluctantly voting for the A92, but I would also just say that I commit to working in the next session around this issue of major party status.
Thank you, Senator Westlin. I know you have put a lot of your heart and mind into this effort. Are there other questions or comments? All right, so on the A92, a roll call has been requested, and we can take the roll.
Chair Murphy?
Yes.
Senator Mitchell?
Yes.
Senator Carlson?
Yes.
Senator Westlin?
Yes.
Senator Bolden? Chair Cleavorne?
Aye.
Senator Hewitt?
Sorry.
That's okay. Don't
downgrade. Representative Hewitt?
Yes.
Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Greenman?
Aye.
Representative Nash?
No.
The speaker has given us permission to 12:30. Thank you for that. There being four ayes on the Senate side, four ayes on the House side, and one no, the motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, there's also the A77 amendment. If you'd like to consider that now.
Move to the A77 amendment.
Is
And this amendment is an agreement among leadership around a couple of boundary changes. This is an amendment that was decided really last year when the maps came out. And therefore, if there are no questions, Chair Freiberg moves the A77 amendment.
Madam Chair, before you make the motion, there is an additional section that needs to be incorporated from the side-by-side. That is the changes to Senate District 9 from the side-by-side. It's on page R1A5, House Section 2 should be included in the package here.
Could you please repeat the page number just so everyone is clear?
Yes, Chair Cleaborn, it's R1A5, House Section 2.
Everybody clear about what's before us? Seeing no questions.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to again say thanks for the effort to, because two of these are districts that need to be corrected for Republican members. I do think that I like the collegiality that we had around this. Chair Freiberg and I talked about this. Chair Cleaborn and I talked about this. And this even arose much earlier in the session relative to the Senator Westrum piece. Sometimes, as a GIS person, sometimes mistakes happen when you're building a map and you have multiple variables that are going into that. So I think that the two smaller ones are really much appreciated. I think there is one other one that is interesting, but I do recognize that there are efforts that need to be taken to correct something after the fact, and we can just lay this at the court's feet if you wish. So we'll let them own this one.
Thank you very much, Representative Nash. Seeing no further questions, Representative Freiberg moves the A77 amendment as amended. Any questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed, say no.
No.
And that motion is adopted. And I believe that concludes the election table and the elections amendments.
Madam Chair, I move the 2023 Omnibus State Government Finance House File 1830 and Senate File 1426 Election Administration Policy Sections for potential adoption on 5. Today is 13. Mm-hmm. On 5/13/2023, the date and time stamp of this document is 5/10/2023 at 6:26 p.m. It is page 1, as amended.
Are there questions? Seeing no questions, Chair Cleaborn renews her motion on the election section of the conference report. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed say no. And that motion is adopted. Final
section. Mr. Gehring, if you would like to begin with the campaign finance policy sections.
Madam Chair, I think what I'll ask before we do the walkthrough, so we have walked through the campaign finance language previously in the committee, and there are no standalone amendments associated. So would you like us to walk through individual pieces, or would you like just the general overview of this article?
We would like, Mr. Gehring, thank you, an overview of the article.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will highlight a few of the items, and Mr. Gehring can sort of bat cleanup for me. This article makes a variety of changes to the campaign finance laws, including adding some different definitions, including economic disclosure of a spouse's financial interests, including amendments to lobbyist and principal reporting and what is required in those various reports. It requires reporting on lobbying before all political subdivisions and not just those in the metropolitan area. It includes provisions regulating and requiring reporting on electioneering communication. It makes some changes to the statement of economic interest and calls out some exceptions for certain very local offices requiring a lesser level of disclosure. It provides for virtual currency and accounts for how those are accepted as contributions and how they must be handled. It makes some clarifications and requirements around using depositories, particularly as they relate to virtual currency or things taken on online platforms. And then there are a variety of other smaller changes related to notification at point of sale when there's a contribution. It prohibits contributions during the legislative session or any time of the year for access to a club or a space. It makes some changes to multi-candidate expenditures, not being exception for multi-candidate expenditures for booths at state fairs, provides a penalty for failure to do closed captioning on campaign advertisements. Mr. Gehring.
Madam Chair, I just highlight also that there's a structure for reporting of electioneering communications built in within this article. And then identified on the table is a number of effective date changes and other smaller language modifications that are all listed in the change column on this chart.
Members, do you have any questions? Seeing no questions, Chair Cleburn.
Madam Chair, I will move the 2023 Omnibus State Government Finance House File 1830 and Senate File 1426 Campaign Finance Policy Sections for potential adoption on this day, May 13th, 2023. The document is date stamped 5/11/2023, 10:59 a.m., pages 1 through 4. There are no amendments.
Chair Cleburn moves the adoption of House File 1830, Senate File 1426, the campaign finance policy sections laid out in this table on 5/13/2023, pages 1 through 4. Thank you very much. Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no.
No.
Motion is adopted.
And Madam Chair, that's the end of the election articles.
All right. Thank you both very much for that review and for your work this morning and for everything that you've done to bring us to this moment. That largely concludes our work. And I would like to move that staff be instructed to prepare a conference committee report, including the provisions that have been adopted in this conference committee, and that staff, our amazing staff, be authorized to make technical corrections as needed. Staff may rely on the spreadsheets to resolve ambiguities or correct amounts. Is that clear? And as I said at the start, there are a couple of areas where we are still talking through small changes with the administration. And I just want to make sure that I'm clear about that on the record with everybody. All right. And that with that, Chair Cleburn, would you like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we adjourn today.
Have we adopted the report?
Well, did we make a
I'll move one more time. That the staff be instructed to prepare a conference committee report, including the provisions that have been adopted in this conference committee, and that staff be authorized to make technical corrections as needed. Staff may rely on the spreadsheet to resolve ambiguities or correct amounts. Representative Nash.
Madam Chair, a clarifying question, if I could. Given that we're going to be instructing staff to prepare a conference report and you're still in deliberations with the executive branch and perhaps other leaders, would there then need to be amendments to this conference report that is now being prepared? Or how would that be finalized before it goes to a vote of the conferees?
Thank you, Chair Nash. So I believe what is left in discussion is largely technical in nature. If there is something more substantive than that, it may require that we come back to talk about that. And so I want to be clear about that. If it is technical and it falls within the realm of the instructions that we have given our staff, then those changes can be made by the revisers, reviewed before we sign the conference report, and take those then back to the floor for votes. But if there's something more substantial than that, then I think it would be right for us to come back here to amend the work that we have done.
And Madam Chair.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if, what you're saying then is if morphologically the bill is changed in any way of a non-technical nature, that we would come back to again take a vote. And is a second question, is it your intent then to pass the bill on a final vote out of committee where the conferees then get to choose whether they sign or not sign the document? You know.
So Representative Nash and Chair Cleaborn, please join me in this if you will. I do believe that if there is something substantive that requires us to come back here, that we have agreed that we will do that. But if that is not the case and the changes are technical within the realm of what we've described, I believe our staff will prepare the report for us to sign.
Very good. Thank you.
Anything else? I want to thank everybody for everything, everywhere, if you will. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.